Chronicles chapter 12, we're looking at substituting brass for gold. And I told you we're learning from the feet, or at the feet of Kenneth Hagin, and where he instructed the body of Christ some 32 years ago about the right order, worship, and service. I benefited a lot from that, and I use that every year to teach subjects, different subjects around this course. Now, in 2 Chronicles 12, there's the story of a king by the name of Rehoboam, right? I was just twisting, see, who, because there was a war, or call it an invasion, and then they took away the treasures, verse 9, of the house of the Lord, and the treasure of the king's house, then he took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hand of the chief of the guard and kept the entrance of the king's house. And the lesson in there is that he went for convenience. The house was built with gold, and something happened. And then he went for what was available. And oftentimes we get to do that in ministry, where we say, well, what can we do? What's permissive, you know, at this point? Let's just get to do it. And then we compromise our convictions for what is convenient. I remember Pastor Christopher Yakilome said this years back at a minister's forum, 1996 or 5, and he said that conviction is the strength, all right, of a man's sheep on the highways of life. That your conviction will determine how you stabilize your sheep. You need to have a conviction. This is what God told you to do. It's not every time that it will be popular or it will be what everybody does. And sometimes we make this error of thinking that everybody is spiritual or everybody is leading as led by the Spirit of God. That's not true. There are quite a good number of Christians, that's quite a good number of Christians who don't know how to be led, or are not even being led. And so you cannot judge what you're doing by convenience. Okay, what's available? What's everybody doing? And so this fellow, you know, did that, and we looked at a few things from the mode of worship. We looked at clapping, dancing, and all those things that people get to say, well, what's wrong with it? You know, yeah, what's wrong with it? You say, what's wrong with it? What's wrong here with this? You know, and it's almost like people, sometimes we can run ministry on psychology. Well, what's wrong with this? I mean, if you look at this, if you look at that, this looks like this. And then you say, wow, it's true. And it makes sense, you know. And sometimes we build things around all of that. But remember that the ministry belongs to Jesus. That should always dawn on your heart that the ministry belongs to Jesus. Every time I have a course to talk to leaders, whether in this church or anywhere, I let them know this all the time. You are a trustee. It's a privilege that I get to share the word, to teach the word. That's all it is. You're a trustee. And so you must therefore do things as led by the Spirit of God, either firstly by His Word, and also by the promptings of your heart. I shared that last week. Psalm 127, verse 1, one of my pivotal scriptures. Remember, I didn't say favorite. I used to have favorite scriptures. You want to know then? I stopped having prayer by scripture 2000 and something, 2005 or 6 or something. I kind of thought it was necessary. But Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except he watches, the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. That's Solomon speaking, actually. Solomon is said to have said this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Notice he didn't say they wouldn't build it. In vain means it won't have any record in eternity. There are many things that we slave for, we work for, that have no eternal value. And sometimes those are the things that make us cry, make us angry, make us bitter, make us break relationships, sometimes make people leave churches. Things that have no eternal value. No eternal value at all. And we, you know, work at those kind of things. He said, the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build. Now, I often tell you that the most disastrous experience a believer can have is to do efficiently what he ought not to have done at all. To do efficiently. That is, you do it very well. What he ought not to have done at all. The fact that you enjoyed something and you liked it doesn't mean it's God's will. My feelings are not the umpire of God's will. Because I enjoyed something. People enjoy sin. In fact, Hebrews 11, 25, I believe, or 26, says that the pleasures of sin, that's what he calls what Moses abandoned in me, the pleasures of sin. So that means there's pleasure in sin. So the fact that I take pleasure in something doesn't make it right. The fact that we enjoyed it doesn't make it right. So, except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that build it. We must ask the Lord, Lord, is this your will? Is this how you want it? Isaiah 7:25, right? Except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that build it. And so, now, Brother Hagin, taught us something then that got me thinking. Back then, got me a lot thinking. All along these lanes. Check 1 Samuel 6. Something got my attention in there. 1 Samuel 6. One of the prayers I pray oftentimes is, Lord, don't leave me to myself. Because I know what I can do alone. God leaves you to yourself and you're running things. Running the church the way you like. You know. 1 Samuel 6. That's it, 1 Samuel 6. 1 Samuel 10. Sorry for that. Alright. The before that, now 1 Samuel 10 was the anointing of Saul. Saul, the king. Now, in 1 Samuel 10, he was anointed by Samuel. And then Samuel told him, I want you to look at something very, very unique. He told him to go in verse 5, among the garrison of the Philistines, you will see a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, a tabret, a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you, verse 6, shall prophesy with them, shall turn to another man. Now, notice, this is just for thinking, you know. That when David was going to be chosen, this wasn't said to him. Wasn't told to go anywhere, and then there will be the proof. Not at all. Just have that at the back of your mind. Now, in 1 Samuel 8, something important happened here. The Verse 4 says, then the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old and your sons walk not in thy ways. Very reasonable things. You are old, your son walks not in your ways. Why are they saying that? You are a prophet. We know God called you. At least we know from the mouth of Eli and then your mom. We know already that you're a prophet of God. You've led us as a nation, but then you're getting old. And then your sons are old, your sons are wayward. They sure can be the people qualified. You know, when people begin to talk like that, they despise the supernatural aspect of leadership. They sit down and say, well, by my calculations, you're getting old and your sons can feed. And so the next request was, make us a king. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Interesting. Make us a king. God said to Israel, Exodus 19, 5 and 6, a kingdom of priests. So they never had a reason for a king. Alright? And he had called himself their king. He had called himself their king before now. But then they come to a point and say, look, this is not working. You're getting old. Your sons aren't doing fine. Logic. He said, make us a king. And then this displeased Samuel. He said, give us a king. Then he said, give us a king. Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to him, hearken. Now look at verse 7. That's my point here. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all they say unto you. For they have not rejected me, but they have rejected they have rejected me that I shouldn't reign over them. According to all the works which you have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt to the day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they do also unto you. Now therefore, hearken to their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Then he told the words of the Lord and the people of acts of the king. This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and his horsemen, and some shall be run his chariots. And he went all that. You can read all that later on. He told them what the king will have. You have your wives, you have your daughters, you'll take your vineyards, you'll take a tenth of your sheep. He said all of that. You shall cry out in that day, verse 18, because of your king which you have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you that day. Never let the people refuse to obey the voice of the Lord. They said, no, we no go agree. Verse 19, will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, that our king will judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And heard it. Now, the interesting part of this is what the Lord said to Samuel. Listen to them. Tell them it's not my will, but do it. Now, watch what I'm about to say. And Saul actually had the anointing on him, the anointing oil was consecrated in the office of the king, and he prophesied. It took David in Psalm 110 verse 1 to recognize who the king was. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at thy right hand till I make thine enemies your footstool. So therefore, watch what I'm about to say. There are things that God will have to permit that's not his will. In that instance, he allows us to do what we want to do. He won't depart from us. He will walk away from us. But we will not be walking in his will. So Brother Hagin now said, there are two things in God's will. Now, I may not teach it the way he taught it, but I understood what he's saying. That there is a perfect will of God, what God wants, and there's what you call the permissive will of God, what we want, that God allows. Now, this is a clear instance of that. Because they simply wanted a king. They said, like all the nations. I see. People can get to a point that they become very resolute. In spite of what he said was a consequence that we don't care. So they took their chances. You know.
about that. That's why if you observe, the only king besides Solomon in all his glory giving such prominence in prophecy was David. And that's because David knew who should sit on the throne. So events can happen with supernatural signs that is not God's will. Sometimes we gauge God's will by the benefits that we have. I've told you before, the real validity of God's will is God's will itself. So, make us a king like other nations, let's do like other churches, let's do like other ministries, let me do like other believers. Doesn't make it right. And the fact that you had your way, neither makes it right as well. So, they had their way. That can be enormous. And I can imagine how Samuel will feel. No wonder the Lord said, let them have their way. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people can get very, very emotional about what they want. A few years ago, and there was a person in the ministry and who did an act of disobedience, not necessarily, but something's close to that. Then I began to pray. As I prayed, I saw the Lord speak to me. I saw the person, and I saw what the person did. Now, everybody was in relationship with the person, so we're not so large in number, so we knew one another very well. So I said to everyone, it appears this is God's will. I didn't want to force it. They said, no, sir, pastor, no, this is what we're going to do. And everyone said something contrary to what I said. You know, everybody said exact opposite. I said, I sense this. I said, no, pastor, please. We all sat down. I don't want to talk to people so that you won't get what I'm talking about. This example is just very, very important. So they said, all right. I said, okay, no problem. And the Lord said, let them have their way. I kind of felt, no, you showed me what's going to happen. You said, let them have their way. So I said, okay, guys, have your way. When they had their way, and the way was horrible, the way created trouble. Okay, let me now turn to one person who was there. I was nearly beaten up, right? Because you guys had your way. I said, but I told you. They said, yes, Pastor, we just saw it. So I can imagine how many were we? Somewhere before 3, 4, 5 million. Have your way, have your way. You know, a crowd of people can actually be corporately disobedient. It's very possible. A crowd of people. And they can be tongue-talking, demon-casting. But sometimes when things affect our emotions, we can be very carnal. And I said, okay, have your way. It's what you want. I've seen people come and they said, well, this is what I want to do. And God will speak to you. I said, this fellow is going out of my will. Then I want to say, Lord, shall I say this? And I'll listen to the person very well, that if you waste your words, I've learned not to waste my words. And I have a very wonderful elder brother who over the years has helped me know what to say. And I'm the firstborn in my family. So my elder brother is spiritual in nature. He will say, tell people to follow their heart. Shegzi. They will turn you to a witch. Say, there is this cancer that never fails. Follow your spirit. And I believe because many people actually know what they ought to do in their spirit. They just want someone to tell them how to disobey righteously. And sometimes I'll just say, all right, go ahead. Because if you can't take counsel, there's no reason to tell you anything. And then they go ahead. Israel now had a king. And they had kings for years. And the king came hundreds of years later, Jesus. And sometimes Satan can give us a counterfeit of someone that is real but is not yet here. Or our desires and our will can give us a counterfeit. I got to pastor a church some 21 years ago. When I was called to pastor the church, it was very convenient because I had to take over from the pastor who just passed on. And the loss of the office there was very vital. All my friends, excluding one that played politics, said, "Chabu, this is an opening. It's an opening." Because I'd been preaching there before. I didn't have a car. I'd gotten a car before I'd given it. So they'll drop me, you know, in cars. I saw the kind of opulence they had, you know. And so when the pastor passed on, I had to take over. I told my friends, "Hey, wow." They didn't even allow me land. My friends said, "Wow, that's a great door. That's a great door." Said, 1998. One of them told me, said, "In December." don't let me expose my friends. I said, "Hey, oh, beautiful." So I took over the pastor. And the Lord said to me, "That's not the church I called you to pastor." So he told me. So I said, "All right. In God's word, I can help believers, right? So I can stay long with believers to help them stay." The scripture I stood on there was, "Mourn with them that mourn." So I was going to mourn with them by pastoring. Okay, because I knew it was God's will. So I mourned with them. Then I told them, and I took out the pastor and I said, "Hey, HLS, guys, that's the name of the church. I said, I'm leaving here May 20, 1998. I said, "Ah." He gave us exit day. I said, "Yeah, May 20, 1998. I taught them Reality of Christianity. That's the series I started with. I taught them for a while. Oh, my God. So, you know, lovely. And I made sure that I cut away all the trappings of, I said, "I'm not going to take a dime from this church. You are not going to use your car to take me. So I will go to church with Okada." He felt embarrassed. "So what about?" I said, "No." They thought I was fighting them. No, I was fighting me. Because when you entered the car, will of God will turn to tearing of God. That's just the truth of the matter. Because this was the church I first preached for. When I preached for them, and I was in the rain, and so they took me to one lovely place, took off my clothes. I took it off myself. Okay, I said, "Took off my clothes." I didn't want to think they took off my clothes. I took off my clothes. And then they had to dry the clothes, wash it for me, gave me a wonderful meal. He took me a car, into a wonderful car, and then an escort car to take me back to my village, Jigorobi. Ah! I said it in the car that day. I said, "I can never be poor." You've heard me say it before, right? I'm breaking down the story for you. "I can never be poor." Ah! Two and a half years after, the church is now in the Plata. "Take it, take it." And I said, "No." God said, "That's not the church I want you to pastor." So what scripture? "Mourn with them that mourn." So I was with them teaching. I was seeing the monies enter. Steve. Wow. I'm like, that's why you say, "Do I really understand the word witness well?" I said, "May 20th. So I've trained myself to say things so that I will do it. I said, "May 20th. Maybe. And May 20th, preached my last sermon.
And I left. Of course, I was looking like a G-man. Like, he knows, this guy knows the will of God, he's straightforward. But inside me, I'm going, don't turn to salt, keep going. You understand? So many times, they didn't know I was doing the 5 months, because I passed from January to May. They didn't know I was doing the 5 months in what we can term God's permissive will. Now, because I learned this, there's a way you can act. It's in the will of God, even though it's not the perfect will of God. But you cannot live continually that way. Now, what I just said now can be very confusing. And I said it that way so that you won't do the wrong thing. Give me some more years, I'll explain it to you. Alright, so I knew that you had to go. This isn't the Lord's will. That's not what he wants. I knew that. Shall the Lord build a house, labor in vain that build it? Shall the Lord build a house, labor in vain that build it? For some of the same ministry that I got doors to preach in Zimbabwe and South Africa, that in just one invitation I had 11 churches to preach for in 1 week. Everything looks green. Land is green. It's green. The land is green on the other side. Is that the song? Until I took the ride. Something like that. Shall the Lord build the house. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So you need to learn to stay in the Spirit. Stay with the will of God. It's not about what are all the nations doing. I'm telling my friends. Now, my friends were guilty of misleading me because I never told them I sensed anything. I didn't tell them. But I just listened to them. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Then we had a camp meeting. Best of Two Worlds, 1998, March 12 to 14. I remember it very well because that was the Archbishop of the Hosta died. March 12 to 14. Remember when we had Archbishop of the Hosta died, then someone said, I sense something happening in the Spirit. I said, what? We're starting camp meetings, the Archbishop died today. What do you think? I said, yeah, died. You know, guys can be very prophetic. So, my friend said, let's go and bring, you have a large church? Let's bring all of them there. I said, I won't tell them about it. He said, why? I said, because I'm just there at my own volition. To satisfy my conscience, to be a friend of a friend who passed on. That's all. But I can't turn that to a life. That's why I gave an exit date. Don't make anything permanent which ought to be temporary. Have a lot of sense. That's why when it comes to things like marriage, leaving your country, things that will change the course of your life, it's better you don't do anything than do something and then get into a life of hops, bumps. Now, it's good if you're a person, you're going through persecution for obeying God and things are difficult. There's a peace of God that overwhelms your heart. But when you are not even sure what is going on, because you simply walked into landmines, and then you begin to have a sad conscience for a long time. So the truth is, just find out. We'll see that shortly. So there's a perfect will of God, using Brother Higgins' terminology, which I have no problems with. And there's a permissive will, where you actually just had your way. And man can surely have his way. If man can sin and get it done, man can do anything outside God's will. So look at meetings. The same obedience matters. The same kind of obedience. It matters. You can, before your church grew to 1,000, 2,000, you were led by God. You knew the pattern God gave you. Then as the church began to grow, and then it appears like some needs now came up. And then some things were now convenient to be done. You know, just say, but then what can we do? You know, just like Acts 6.
what can we do? This is just the right thing to do at this point. And you get it done. You even get testimonies. People will thank you for such testimonies. They will thank you. They will be grateful. They will even say, God did it. But you knew what happened. You knew. So, the growth of your church doesn't change God's plan. Doesn't change God's plan. Doesn't change His purpose. Doesn't change His pursuit. The fact that you're growing older doesn't change God's plan. Obedience matters a lot. Obedience. Have you read the epistles and what they say about Jesus? The book of Acts talks about the miracles of Jesus, but read the epistles. Nothing about the miracles of Jesus is mentioned in the epistles. What is said about Jesus in the epistles is obedience. Nothing about His miracles. Nothing. Eyewitness account, His miracles were mentioned. Acts 2:22. His miracles were mentioned. Acts 10:38. The miracles of Jesus were mentioned. But when you get to the epistles, it is obedience that is taught to the church. So you look at that and say, have I obeyed God? I told you something last week. I was teaching Bible school, and someone asked me, what is the reward? I said, God will say to you, well done. And that guy says, is that all? How can I say, what? How can a Christian say what God commanded is not sufficient? So what did you want to get? You a G-Wagon? What did you want? What kind of Christian life is that? That if something doesn't become substantial, it's not of worth or value to you. I'm saying God says, well done. An eternal statement. I said, oh, so? Okay, well done. All right, God, what else? What comes with it? We can be so twisted in our value system. Remember, years back, we were in the car. We went for this program, so we're coming back. Myself and two other people were in the car. Two people from this church. Someone else that's not from this church. So we now discussed the story of a woman who found money, and then she returned the money. I think about 20 million naira or something. So we said, now look at what they now gave her. It'll be 100K. But then people started talking. I said, so you expected her to receive monetary reward for being honest? That defeats the honesty. I said, Pastor, what do you think? I said, the first question I want to ask you is, was it her money? He said, no, but she found it. Did she walk to find it? He said, no. Someone's money was misplaced. You found it. And you think that you have an entitlement. Then you are inside a thief. Because you just return it and walk away. Because it's not your own. And I told them the story. How I went to Singapore some years before then. And we were in a shop. And as we shop, I think we forgot. I can't remember. Maybe some dollars. Some thousands. So we got to the shopping mall. We forgot the money. But somehow in the conversation I had with the shop attendants and myself and my partner, we talked about the gospel. So they said, oh, you are a father. I said, no, pastor. So we walked away, went back to the hotel. So I just said, Ebo, where's that money? He said, you didn't take it. I said, blah, 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 blah. So we ran back to the hotel. We ran back. So to the mall. And we got there. Because my head is already calculating. Hey, I put it in Naira. So we got in there. The money was wrapped on the table. Wrapped. Then I wrote, Father. The woman who I spoke with a few hours ago wasn't there. So it was another attendant. I said, oh, it's for you. I said, no wonder Joseph Prince's mouth is sweet. Because he was so honest. They didn't even have any sense of entitlement. They got me done it and just started walking. But someone returns someone's money here and says, Phils, give me something. I said, the best that should happen, because of the kind of values that have been eroded in our nation, that woman's name should be on the social studies textbook. So I said, Pastor, your reasoning. Which one? I said, yes. To model people. Oh, Pastor. It's not your money. Hallelujah. How did I get here now? How did I get here? Remind me. Someone just said, well done. So that well done wasn't it. Okay, Lord. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well done. Yeah, thank you, Lord. No. That's it. For a child of God, that's more precious than silver and gold. A good name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You listening? So the obedience matters a lot. Even in working miracles, as we say, ask yourself, why? You see, you can work miracles and displease God. You can heal the sick and displease God. You'll just be like the signboard who points people to the destination but isn't there. You can be. In Matthew's Gospel 12, they came to Jesus and they said, show us a sign. Just the same way Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 verse 3, turn this stone to bread. You know, you know, you know, these latter days, Christocentric or Christoelectric manifestos, they said, come on, supernatural. Oh yeah, stop, turn the bread. You know, no. You're not a performer. Say, man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew's Gospel 4:4. But by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. In Matthew 12, they came to him, show us a sign. Said, only a wicked, and a doctor of Jericho seeks for a sign. No sign shall be given to you. But that was of the prophet Jonah. That's what he said. He didn't take the bait. Could Jesus turn stone to bread? Sure. Could he have healed the sick in the presence? Sure. But if he had done that, he would have been in self, the flesh. That's what would have happened. The moment miracles become something you want to show up with, you are in, out of the will of God. In John 6, he said to them, this bread you eat as you die. There's a bread that is eternal life. That's baffling for a miracle you just walked. You must not turn to a performer in ministry. That's brass. That's brass. You mustn't turn to a performer. Every time I come to preach, every time, anywhere, any day, I'm called to preach. There's this feeling I had before I became a pastor. I've been preaching then. That the first few times I was called to preach, I always felt jittery. Like I couldn't do it. Then I always would pray, Lord, take control. Take over. Let it be you and not me. Just that simple, doesn't look like knowledgeable prayer, but very simple prayer. And I just prayed that, then I got preached and people got blessed. Do you know till now, this year, my first convention was December 1992. That's a few days ago. Till now, if I'm coming up to preach, I feel jittery. And I'm very comfortable with it because it keeps me in check all the time. Because you can become a performer. And then it's about, hey, let's show them. Let's show them. Hey, let's show them. Have I been involved in showing them before? Yep. But I had to grow out of that. Because it's not about them. It's about him. In Numbers 20, Moses did exactly the same thing. It was differently. The people wanted water. He angrily struck the rock, and water came out. God said, speak to the rock. Moses struck the rock, and water came out. And God said, you didn't sanctify me before the people. In other words, it was about you. You didn't sanctify me. It was all about you. All about you. And so it comes down to, why do we do miracles? The moment the workings of miracles is not your compassion for people, but rather someone to show on Facebook, you just miss the plot. The moment you want to heal the sick so you will be called the healer, you miss the point. Never forget two accounts that shouldn't leave your memory. Acts 3, at the beautiful gate, the gate called Beautiful, when Peter and John raised that man who was crippled from the floor. And the guy got up and his ankle bones received strength. And then Peter responded, he said, do not think it's by our holiness that we made this man walk. What they did, they took the attention off themselves. Always do that. Brother Higgins said, the Lord told him, never forget to give me the glory. Never forget. And I also don't forget. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas, when Paul preached the gospel then, in chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, and then he said, so the man was crippled, he says, get up on your feet straight away. And the man got up. Immediately the people ran to Paul and Barnabas. Oh, they said, Paul is he's the enemy, he's the chief speaker, the Mercurial. They called Barnabas Jupiter and began to worship them. And immediately the two of them tore their clothes. Said, no. That's a Christ consciousness. Because you can substitute brass for gold. And so getting results is not a proof of obedience. What we call results of the miracles, signs and wonders. No. Rather, it's what you did with it. And so, we mustn't get result conscious and forget obedience. If you get result conscious and forget the sense of obedience, you put brass instead of gold. Gold has obedience and has miracles, signs, and wonders. Brass won't have it. Brass is just what people see, not what is inside. And so we must learn to stick with it. What's the first thing God said? What did God speak to you? I know a preacher like that. And I want to see him. He said to us years ago, many years ago, almost 25 years now, 24. He said, we're going to have two kinds of progress. He said, God says we mustn't emphasize miracles. That's what he told us. And I believed him because Jesus said it, Paul said it. We mustn't emphasize miracles. Miracles mustn't be the first thing. And suddenly that changed. I said, I'm going to see him one day. And I'm going to remind him what he told us. You said it wasn't the first. Because it's the will of God. I believed you. It's good to always stick to the plan. No matter the crowd. No matter people increasing in number. The plan must be the same. Vision of Saints Community Church didn't happen last year. Vision of Saints Community Church preceded my meeting anybody here. And I saw it years back. And God said to us what we're going to found all over the world. Bible schools. As local churches where people will be trained for the gospel, for the work of the ministry. I knew that years ago. So in 1995, I started what you can call the Rema Bible School. Oftentimes the first steps are baby steps.
Sometimes in presumption. River Bible School. St. George Primary School. Obafemi Taiwo Street, number 10. Praise the Lord. We had that River Bible School. And I was teaching from 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening. The man, the theme was the man, the mantle, and the call. So I first thought about man. What is man? 1 week. 1 week. Dear friend of my, us then, Reverend Mike Ibito is now called apostle. He came in. He read the notes the first week. He said, why not make this a full-time theological seminary? You know, so those were the first steps back then. So an opportunity doesn't change that. You stick to the plan. I have a friend like that. She goes to only places where there are no churches. Such that, even if you invite her and her team, and say, come and help us organize a program here, she just say no, without even praying about it. I tried to get out the World Churches Conference 2010 or 11. She said, where are you holding it? I said, I live in Nigeria. She said, where in Nigeria? I said, Ikperu. Mr. Perry, I said, oh, who's there? Said, who dominates the place? I don't know. Said, but it's just a venue. Said, I don't think we're coming. Such doggedness. This is someone I pastored. And still calls me all sorts of names. Indifference. I said, no, that we're just led to go to places where Christ is not named. But I like hearing things like that. Sticking to the plan. Friend told me a couple of days ago, he said, we don't do flyers or e-flyers. He said, because God told us when we're starting that church is for that community alone. There's someone with such social media presence. What obedience. He said, that's what God told us. I like to hear things like that. What about you? I said, this is just what God told us. Wow. Say, God told me that we should fill the auditoriums with people living in that community. Now, you could become very funny and say, hey, that's a ish. God didn't tell you. That's not God told. Told us what to do here. So, if you come to this church and then you raise your hand, sir, I think the church should, what is that? I'm not suggesting. Did you say suggestion boss outside? Hallelujah. One of the pastors once gave a suggestion. Wrote in the report. This is how my eyes went red. I said, don't do that here. That's not our model. Don't do it. Don't even suggest it. Because that's not what we're led to do. It was a very harmless suggestion. No? If I do hear it, you look at me and say, But I want to go to bed and know I did God's will. Hallelujah. You get it? Stick to what God said. Stick to what He said. I'm still preaching. I'm going to send this teaching to my friend. Whether when she hears what I said about her, she will have a change of mind. Say, come and share your missionary experiences with, particularly with women. Say, we hold it somewhere. She mentioned one place for me. I said, I don't know this. Where we go, that's just the leading. And you know the thing about the lady, she comes from a very wealthy family. Extremely wealthy. Extremely wealthy. When I say extremely wealthy, well, may I say someone is wealthy? He's wealthy. Extremely wealthy. Yet the work is among those
who are rejected.
If you share with her and tell her, 6 blind eyes were opened, 26 dead raised, she goes emotionless till you say, 5 God born. You say, yeah! She just goes emotionless. The miracles don't save. Only the gospel.
Very straightforward.
Hallelujah. And I ordained her and a couple of guys. But that's just obedience. Staying with the plan. Staying with the plan. Teach. We're going to have camp meeting. What's God telling us to do? Brother Higgin once told the story of how he just saw camp meeting at the time. They had camp meeting then in Tulsa. And he said, oh, maybe some people should come in and preach. So he brought in all of his friends. It happened for years. I know those periods in the 80s. Said God called him. He said, what did I tell you when you were starting? In the mornings, teach this. In the afternoons, in the evenings, go back to that plan. I looked at the years where he said it was out of the plan. Yeah, I like those teachings though. I enjoyed it. But I said, that wasn't what God told us. Don't forget, brass will look just like gold. Are you there? Sure, of course, what God leads you to do will line up with the word. Alright? Line up with the word. So, learn to stay with the plan. Let's stay with the plan. There are a few things that we mustn't lose sight of. You're a pastor or you're in the ministry. We all are in the ministry. And you see, obedience doesn't start with the big things. Hear what I'm about to say. You see, faithful people are revealed in little things. Little things. And that's why if I'm your pastor, I am. If I can't test you or trust you with 10-minute exhortation where you exalt yourself to 11 minutes, I can't trust you with anything. You are not trustworthy. The other brother like that, I asked to preach for me in 2001. They told me he blessed them. You have raised men. And I asked them, when did he start preaching? Because I didn't know why I was asking. I said, like 9:15, if I, he went beyond the time. He was just preaching. He went beyond the time. So I went to call him. Bro, when he started, he told me, I said, there will be a cold day in hell the next time I ask you to preach on my behalf. Don't get scared. That was for a purpose. Be faithful in little things. If you can practice obedience with 2 people, you won't do it with 2,000. Be rest assured. If you can be faithful with 2 people. Some of us have abandoned the flock. The flock may just be 1 brother, 2 people, 4 folks. Because you are to chase a contract, because you are to get married, have children, because you are to travel out of the country, do something. You just abandon the flock, didn't pray over it, didn't do anything well, and you know, just left it like that. Now, you're failing the test. You're failing the test. Be faithful with little things. Little things. Be faithful. Be faithful with follow up. Be faithful. In the days when I used to do the follow up, if I do follow up for you, you will run away the next day. Because all the Bible I know is what I'm teaching you. I will teach you and teach you. We'll sit down. I'll teach you all through. One time someone asked someone I know, say, why do you come and you preach? Are you not crazy? You're just preaching to the air. And nobody's listening to you, you're just preaching to horse. She said, one day,
I'm going to be preaching to people I won't see on television. I like people that think like that, you know. Because that's quite faithful. Very faithful. 5 a.m. she'll be out preaching. Little things. You're faithful with little things. So, when we had Remnant Bible School in 1995, what I do today, I've been doing then. Was a primary school. Then I taught from morning to night. Those folks who doze and wake up. I won't look at you. So we're going on. Then now I give you break. No break, go. Start, we end like that. No break. The mantle and the call. I taught the man for 1 week. What is man? We know man. Can we leave money? You know the point was, the Bible school was supposed to be 1 week. So there was now a bad press all over the place. They said, don't go to that guy's Bible school. Something had happened. We organized a crusade, and I was part of the crusade organizing. I didn't know the organizer of the crusade was planning to take the sheep away. So I didn't know. I was just doing evangelism over the body of Christ right at the police barracks, Bobo Road. So the guy had planned how he was going to take the workers and all the converts to a new church. He didn't even tell me they were going to do a new church. Me, I was going for, we want to take the land, revive and the land. So I didn't know that a new church was going to start. I just heard a church that started, which church? Then you just see. You didn't know they were using your head. I didn't know. So it was after the crusade that we planned Remnant Bible School. So he said, don't put all those small men evangelists, they are for one night. So by the time I was organizing the crusade, I mean the Bible school, I had thought that all the people would come because the people now. The first day, only my people were there. The ones that we with the flyers were the ones that came. Have you ever experienced before? All of you now had your flyers. Not one soul. In fact, one person who eventually showed up, Sister Jerina. She said, you don't even know what's going on. Was it Sister Jerina or Sister Quaker? One of them. So you don't know what's going on. They have sent flyers all over church about you. Ha! That what? Oh. You didn't know. They said people took the sheep away. Me? So I went back to the Bible school and said, we're not doing 2 weeks. Why 2 weeks? Is it 1 week? It's now 2 weeks. Since they have opposed us, we're going to be stronger. So it was now the mantle, and I added the call. You can't say the mantle and call at the same thing. And I added the call. Just being faithful with the little things. Stay with the plan. The baby steps, growing. Be faithful. Don't just be faithful because you want to get results. Be faithful because of obedience. As a pastor, learn to wait on God. Learn to wait. Lord, what is there any other thing you want us to correct here? There's something we're not doing right? Learn to pray. Why was Jesus always praying so he would stay in the center of God's will? You must learn to wait on God. Beginning of the ministry year, wait on the flock. It doesn't have to, see, watch me. It doesn't have to be 10,000 people or 1,000 people or two, just two people. Learn to start waiting on God on the three people under you. On the four. And I'm just praying for so and so brother and sister. As you give me the wisdom to shepherd them well, to teach them, to guide them. Wait on God. And I want to say this, and to us, I saw this when I was preparing for this service, that there are people here under my voice who are going around cycles. The reason why you are going around cycles is because you are not walking in obedience. So you keep going around cycles. Children of Israel, you won't leave the same spot. You are making progress. Why? Because there's no obedience. There are things of the world that have dominated your heart. You need to get rid of it. And many things, write this down, for this service alone, many things that you are seeking for, and you want to get in disobedience, are already yours in that obedience of God. But Satan attempts to give you counterfeits and tempting you away from God's purpose and plan. Things may take time, it may take seasons, but it happens. Stay in the center of God's will. So if you go around cycles, you're making progress, you watch it. There's an obedience issue. Stay in God's plan. Progress doesn't mean more numbers, don't get that wrong. Progress means you know you're advancing in God's will. Hear what I'm about to say. God replaces men who remain disobedient to his will. See, God will do what he will do as long as there's a man. If there's a man or woman who chooses not to listen to him, he'll get someone else to do it. Don't forget what Mark Hammond said one time, one of his books I read. He said, that was in 96, he said, God said to me, you are the seventh person, I'll be sending this to do this. I said, seventh person, yep. Look at the parables of Jesus. This one said he will go, he didn't go. The one that said he will go, said he will go, and he was sent. That's just as simple. It's just as simple. Do the will of God. And so, you learn to stay faithful in the little things. The little things. Be faithful. Be faithful. Whenever we're putting our books together, I tell our team, look, you can get away with things. But is this the right thing? That's the point. It's not about, if I do it, it will still work. No. Is it the right thing? That's the question you should ask yourself. Is it the right thing? And I'm grateful to God for people like Kenneth Hagin. Brother Hagin has been such a watchman over me. I tell people, there are a few people that if you mention their names in dishonor, I can physically fight you. Someone asked me, said, why do you like Hagin so much? Guy called me in London. He said, why do you like, I said, without Hagin, I'll have been lost. Lost. Because I saw a man who was able to combine offices that were strange together. And so that blessed my heart. Because I know that I do have times I occupy different offices. And sometimes I step in an office and out of my will. And I begin to function in revelation gifts. And I'm not strong. I can do it right now in this service. I know what to do. I know how it happens. But then, and that could be what people want. And sometimes the Lord will tell you, no, hold on for this for now. Do this for a while. And that's just what he wants. Doesn't mean that you can disobey him and get results. You will. I remember a service I was. And I was teaching a sermon in the convention. And the guy walks up to me and says, he's an evangelist minister. He said, you are an evangelist, so you are a teacher. I'm an evangelist. So I told myself, I'll show you. That was all. I'll show you. I didn't ask whether that was what God wanted. Second service, I just did a Holy Ghost meeting. He said, you must be an evangelist and teacher. Fine. But then, why did you do all of that? Because he was trying to say you are not a, you don't move power. So, I'll move power. And you're out of God's will because you didn't even ask, Lord, what do you want me to do in this service? Do you want me to function this way? How do you want me to function that way? What was the last thing he told you? You stay in there. Oh boy. Oh, people should. They must know. They must know. Nope. He told us the pattern of ministry. He says, come in the church. He told us what to put first. He told us about the things of the Spirit. He told us what to do. And we're sticking with it. Praise God. So we don't function by vogues or what's in vogue. No. When the vogue is done, we'll see the out there doing the will of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. So, sometimes you stay in those offices. Remember someone saw me in the crusade and said, I almost couldn't believe that was you. I laughed. And that's why it's dangerous for people like me to yield to people's demands. There's no office in the body of Christ that have not functioned in a way before people. Strong? There's not. And there's no gift of the Spirit I haven't seen in a very wide measure. But what's most crucial to me is doing God's will. Because you can substitute brass for gold. Stay with what God wants to do. Don't forget I said, human beings are the most terrible judges of things. So you must never judge by fleeces. A fleece is, if it works, it's the will of God. If it doesn't work, it's not the will of God. That's a fleece. Don't use fleeces. Don't do it. The first person that calls me, I will marry him. Anybody who can do this, no, those are fleeces. A fleece means you are taking a chance. You're taking a chance. I told you last week, you see, learn to follow God's plan for your life. People doing something doesn't mean you have to also do it. There are things that people are doing, some people will just be told by God not to do it. That's all. Not because it's a sin or it's wrong or it's evil. Don't always think that way. There are things He will require some of us to do in the body of Christ that even legitimate things He will ask us not to do them. That's just God. He runs the church. He runs the body of Christ. He runs the vessels in it. We must learn to yield to Him. In 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 12, Paul says we must build and take heed how we build. Let me tell you a few very basic things. You know, very basic things that you must do often. Now, close here. Number one, learn to pray in the Holy Ghost often. Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost very often. Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost very often. As you're praying the Holy Ghost, you're waiting on God on those issues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I mentioned something last week about you want to buy something, you want to get involved something. You know, pray in the Holy Ghost. Just even normal things that you want to buy a brand new car, you want to get a house, you want to move to another place, you know, you change your house to another house, you want to rent another apartment. You know, as you're making those decisions, pray in the Holy Ghost. Even though it's a natural, common sense decision, which you must do, the common sense natural thing, check the house, check the security in the place, make sure it's okay, and just do the normal things in the common sense realm. That's not a sin. But as you do those things, pray in the Holy Ghost. Even the most natural thing, alright, might still have an instruction from God. Pray in the Holy Ghost about it. I tell those who, when we're organizing meetings, a camp meeting, believers convention, even though you're doing technical security, pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'm grateful for the heads of the park. Particularly, I must commend the security team of our special meetings led by Pastor Larry Aloge. I've got good testimonies from people that are members of the ministry, that they find many people in that team very spiritual. Some say that's very rare. And that's because they follow instructions. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Even though what you're doing is in the senses, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, yes, you're watching out. But because this is still the ministry, pray in the Holy Ghost and check your spirit. Check your spirit. That's the second thing. Always look at the inward witness. The inward witness. Let me tell you something. When it comes to being led, you can't be an expert. You can only be obedient. There is no expert to the inward witness. So I know it. I know the Greek word. I know the Hebrew word. Leave that thing. That which you used to do is still what you are going to be doing. You see, pray. You will see how sometimes you fast. And just listen. You don't outgrow the basics. So as you pray in the spirit, the natural things. And I learned that from Pastor Tobo. Tobo also includes me, is now called Pastor Charles. Back then, he said it in one meeting in the VCF about 1995. He said, he always instructs those who handle natural things in church meetings to pray with the Holy Ghost. So because it's very easy to get into the flesh because we are doing something already in the flesh. You know, also it can look like in the flesh for you. Because you're just able to see it. But why not pray in the Holy Ghost? Because it's also a ministry of the Spirit. That's why in Acts 6, when they chose people to preside over food, they asked that they be full of the Holy Ghost. Be full of the Holy Ghost. Be full of the Holy Ghost. When was the last time you led a song and there was a move of the Spirit in the service? When was the last time you led a song and somebody got healed? When was the last time you led a song? Somebody spoke in tongues for the first time. These are things you look at. Yielding to the Holy Ghost. When was the last time you were in the guest ministries? You got people filled with the Holy Ghost? You got them healed? You know, just in that same capacity? When was the last time you were selling books? And then you just sent something in your heart? You know, and minister to someone. When was the last time? Because it's a natural activity, doesn't mean you're not yield to the Holy Ghost. Towards that meeting, we're going to teach things along this line. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so, you learn to listen to your heart. If you're a pastor, don't let people calling you, sending reports, this one, overwhelm these basics. It's a supernatural office. Follow up is supernatural. Evangelism is supernatural. There should be times in the week there's a word in your heart for someone you are discipling. You don't have to tell the person. God just speak to you. Well, Mary needs you to pray about this for her. John requires that you do this. Say, thank you, Lord. You'll say, John, the Lord says you require Abba. It's for you to do your work well. Number one, pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Check your heart often. And finally, this is vital. I didn't put this initially. I put it when I got to service. 1 Timothy 4:18. Prophecies have gone before on you, that with them you may wage a good warfare. You know what? You know God doesn't change his instructions because you didn't do them. God doesn't change his instructions because you didn't like them. Go back to earlier instructions. Do you know the safest instructions I follow today? I'll tell you. They're not the instructions I got when I was aside pastoring Saints Community Church. When I started preaching on television, I started having thousands in our meetings, or even preaching in different audiences. They're instructions I got when I probably had just two folks I was talking to. Those basic instructions. I don't forget them. I listen to them. Those prophecies I got, the prophecy 96, January. Prophecies I got 94, 95. The prophecy of brother gave to me 1993, December. Great Hall. Those prophecies had nothing to do with even situations around me. They were instructions in days to come. Go back to those basic instructions. Like I said, the life of a minister is in the instructions. Go back on them and take them again. Some of them will require you going back on obedience, going back on issues, on consecration, fasting. No, simple things that you don't outgrow. And as I go here, the Lord asked me to tell us something. This is my last exhortation tonight. On personal evangelism. As we prayed, you know we prayed? And I said we should pray for sensitivity of the heart. And he says, as we pray, he said, we should get strong. I know we are. But for him to say that, that means we have to. On personal, one-on-one evangelism. Be strong. One-on-one personal evangelism. Hallelujah. You know, we won't build on brass. We'll build on gold. We won't substitute conviction with convenience. God's perfect will with what is permissible. If it was available, let me just go, what's available. No, if I have to wait, I'll wait. If I have to suffer for it, I'll suffer for it. Just to obey and stay at the center of God's will. We choose to obey God in our meetings, in our ministries, in our service for the Lord. It's not about men. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And that keeps us in check all the time. As we approach CAP meeting 2019, we trust God that there's freshness of heaven. Freshness of heaven. The glory of God. That the meeting will not be about pastor or the ministers, about the wonderful teaching and exhortations, or the wonderful demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. The meeting will be about Jesus. That's what I look at in meetings. Jesus, thank you for glorifying yourself, and we also exalting you in that glory. And we look forward to that period. I have a few weeks to that, but 4 weeks now. As we press into God's will. And we wait on Him. We pray. We trust Him. And He says to us in these meetings, He will enhance ministries. He will make more believers effective ministers. And the love of Christ will wax stronger in the hearts of men. One thing about CAP meeting 2019 is that the love of God will wax stronger in the hearts of people. Those who have lost their passions will get it again. Those who have it will be deepened in it. It says to me that this camp meeting will have a flavor of World Changers Conference. How that's going to be, I don't know. But He will do what He says. And we trust the Lord as we pray. Because prayer aligns our hearts with the will of God. We walk in His perfect will, not what's permissible. We're not yielding to the media. We're not trying to do what a ministry is doing or others are doing. We're going to do what He wants us to do. Even with the media, even with the sound, even with the lights, even with the books, even with the ushering, the children's church. They are not outside His will. Even with the way we lead the songs. Lord, is this how you want us to do it? And I know and I trust God that I will obey God. Are you blessed tonight? Let's just worship Him.